Hey kids, this is Aaron from the podcast That Wouldn't Die, and Kevin and I use Zencastr. You think you're better than us, that you're using something else? You're wrong. Zencastr's the place to be. Who are you to deny it?
It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code DIEHARD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time for you to share your story.
Only a fool would give up a chance for a 30% discount.
Welcome to Haven't Seen It, a movie podcast hosted by Tim Sestito and Tommy Tevenet. One of these hosts hasn't seen the movie, and they're going to talk about it. Expect great insight.
Tim's really testing my commitment to the podcast by making me watch The Godfather.
Witty banter.
I like RoboCop shooting dicks, I guess.
And lots of laughs. Haven't Seen It. Available on Apple, Spotify, and all other major podcast platforms.
Splashing some nights.
Hello?
Hey! I saw you! I saw you!
Who in the world are you?
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
What's up?
This week, we're doing the M. Night Shyamalan, I don't know what this is, fantasy?
Fable.
it's a fable, okay? Lady in the Water, with really kind of a shockingly all-star cast. You got Bryce Dallas Howard, you've got Paul Giamatti. I saw Jeffrey Wright in this one. Bob Balaban is in this. Jared Harris is in there tucked some way. I mean, it's an all. M. Night plays a very prominent role, of course.
His finest acting role ever.
Some would argue. Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genre with a comedic twist. Aaron, what's up with you?
I have explosive diarrhea for no apparent reason. So I'm going to be jumping out of here left and right. Don't eat soup that you made after 2 weeks.
I will be in my Jimmy Jammies,
which is what I am in.
That's great.
For the rest of the day.
That's good to know. Do we have to get you like Depends undergarments? I mean, what's the story here?
Oh, my God. There's nothing worse than having to wake up in the middle of the night. I'm like an old man with a prostate problem. Except.
Get back into life with Depends.
No, you're going to have to get. It's beyond that.
Do you remember there was an episode of Saturday Night Live where they had one of those fake commercials that was Oops, I Crap My Pants?
Oops, I Crap My Pants. That does sound right.
It's like they're, these elderly people are playing like tennis and like their whole pants are like all distended. And they're like doing this thing, but like here's the Oops, I Crap My Pant undergarment. And they have a huge like pitcher of like lemonade. And they're like, imagine this is a pound of urine and feces, and they pour it in there. see how it's fully absorbent. Yeah.
It's lemonade and Hershey bars.
It's lovely. Like with huge chunks of like lemons pouring into the Yeah. You gotta Google it. Well, that's a lovely story, Aaron.
I just have to tell you, I have not watched Saturday Night Live in years. Is it any good anymore?
It
seems like it's been decades since it was good.
I honestly think I haven't watched it with any degree of regularity since like the 90s, in all honesty. Yeah, and there were periods that I know were like the early aughts were quite good, you know, with Bill Hader and Jason Sudeikis and Amy Poehler and all the gang, Maya Rudolph. And I just kind of missed it. And now none of them are on the show anymore. And it's all kind of people I don't really know. It's a sad situation.
Well, they do run through that. Even back in the old days with the, like the, you know, the old folks, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray. And then you go into this. They would all leave. And then new people. Then the first new crowd would always fail.
Right.
And then suddenly there'd be an all new cast. And that was usually pretty good. But it went through the cycle. If they're good, they all eventually leave. Which means the next couple of years just are shit. Speaking of shit.
Well, and you're probably somebody who feels like the original cast is the best cast. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, it's a hard to say because I do love the original cast. But Phil Hartman.
That's my favorite. The Phil Hartman, you know, Dana Carvey years are my favorite.
Dana Carvey. When you had, oh my God, I'm blanking on everybody's name.
It's a million.
But I mean, that year, that was the second apex.
Right. Late 80s into the early 90s was my favorite. Now, it all depends. Yeah, obviously, I think people, their generation is always like, well, mine was the best because it was the most topical in terms of what, you know, pop culture they were into.
Right. Interesting. Every now and then they'll pop up with a funny skit, but in 90 minutes, you need to have more than one funny skit.
There's nothing worse when you, for me at the time, I was like 12 or something, trying to stay up and watch it. And then you're like, well, there was one skit that gave me a chuckle for 90 minutes, you know, 90 minutes later, I'm like, eh, wah, wah. And I didn't care about the band. I was like, I don't give a damn who the band is. Let them wrap it up, band. Let's get back to the comedy, was kind of my attitude.
My bummer is they never show the complete skits from the old days.
Right.
There were some dynamite ones with Bill Murray as the lounge singer singing the theme from Star Wars where he's making up words for it.
Absolutely.
Stuff like that. But you can't find that stuff.
Can't find. Well, what they did.
The holiday edition, they're edited.
No, that's true. That's true. They did a thing where it was like, basically the whole season. It was like, you know, Saturday Night Live 1976, 1977, 19, and but when they got to the season where it was like the original cast all left and like the new people came in, which was like a 1 year deal where they wound up firing like everybody, basically. They're not releasing that season.
No.
They're not really, because who the hell would buy it? So that means like it's really only the first five seasons. If you go onto like Amazon, you can find like complete seasons. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you should be able, there should be some place on the internet where I can watch episode one, season one. The only problem with like the original cast is their musical guests always sucked. I remember staying up late and it was Ray Charles and he basically sang for 90 minutes.
Right.
It was like a very special episode. I was like, the musical guest for the old series always stunk. It was always some 70s blues, like they're too smart for the rest of us. Nobody popped.
Some of that.
Yeah.
Why don't we get this train back on the tracks? We talked about this for 90 minutes. Why don't you give us a 30-second synopsis of The Lady in the Water?
I just want to tell you.
Please.
This film is so good. That it is literally right up there with The Secret of Rhode and Ish for this type of film.
I see.
John Sayles' immortal classic.
Interesting.
Just like a hair or two better than this.
Fair enough.
So, boom, Lady in the Water. There is a mermaid in the swimming pool at an apartment complex who really is just here to spread some good words, and then to return. And she needs the people at the apartment building's help to return. They are all drawn to these apartments because she is there.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. Next.
And it's beautiful. Now, when do you remember when you first saw this? This was in the height of the Shyamalan Renaissance.
I think it was one of those things where I just had like HBO on and I was running around, like whatever I was watching ended and this popped up and I was walking around. I was like, oh, I sat down. I'm like, why have I never heard of this?
Interesting. Interesting. Now, I remember this movie. This is the first time I've ever seen it. First of all, let me throw that out there. But I remember this being like critically panned and people being like, this is the downfall of Shyamalan.
What?
Like he's finally lost his mind. And this is before like The Happening and all those other things. They felt this was the tipping point. Thoughts?
No, absolutely not. Because here, it doesn't have one of those ridiculous twists like, it's the Earth attacking us. It right. is just what it is. It is just a fable and it's a puzzle to be solved. It doesn't turn out at the end that the mermaid is the Antichrist and the police arrive to just fingertips and blood in the pool. You know, it's just a nice linear fairy tale.
Okay.
His other stuff where clearly within 5 minutes you're like, I think, blah, blah, blah. And then it's all, you're right. And you're like,
well, I think when you call it a fable, for example, you're really giving it some weight that maybe it hasn't earned, in my opinion.
I think you're out of your goddamn mind. I think it's absolutely like the same genre as of The Secret of Roanne-ish. It's like okay. folktale. I mean, they go and explain this and they get more detail. It's like a fable that crosses different cultures. I thought it was really like sweet and dear.
Here's my issue with it since I'm jumping.
You gotta right have here. A lot of suspension of disbelief.
Well, and I don't
because
have an issue.
People
with
are
that.
Like, yeah, you're right. She's a mermaid. She's,
right.
They don't call her a mermaid.
She's a naiad.
Like she's a naiad. There's sea people, right. And then there's a land people. So
correct. I have no issue with that, with the mythology or whatever.
Right.
My issue is half the movie he's trying to round up one group, and then they go, "Oh shit, this isn't the right group. Hang on, let me spend the next half rounding up the next group of people."
Well, that didn't bother me.
I'm like, oh, Jesus. Till the end, there's like 30 people all like joining in, helping out. You're right, though. There was not a scene where he has to convince anybody of anything.
Everybody's right? pretty much. Well, I mean, they did plant the seed that everyone was, you know, here is drawn to her.
Okay.
I just thought it was. Oh my god! I can tell this is going to be a very disagreeable situation here.
Why don't we jump right in?
It's not too harsh a word. Let me just say that.
Okay, fair enough. Although I say unfair. Go ahead and why don't you, let's do the highlights. What do you got for highlights, Aaron?
I got a real kind of Rear Window little vibe because it's all, not that they're witnessing a murder, but the thing that everybody is there, everybody's watching, and it takes this little, I mean, it was a friendly place, but it really took
yes.
this creature, and then everyone came together like at the end of Rear Window. That's what I was thinking about.
Well, I mean, everybody was seemingly, if not friendly to each other, which they may have been, but they were definitely right. all had fond feelings towards, what's his name? Giamatti, who was yeah. the handyman, where I had to say, first of all, he lives in a little crazy cottage
Cleveland.
To the side.
Was his name
Cleveland?
Cleveland
is his name. Lives in a crazy little cottage to the side of a freaking gigantic apartment built. I mean, this was like a resort in Hawaii. I mean, it was huge. It was like,
it was beautiful.
It was like,
I'm
what?
Like,
15 stories. It was bloody gigantic. Right.
And it was beautiful. It was like, everybody was interesting. Unlike when you really live in an apartment.
Correct. And he seemed to handle everything. Like the opening scene is he's trying to squish a bug. Like you call the handyman? because there's a crazy bug underneath your sink. Like, he's, you can't handle this.
Handyman, property manager. Oh yeah. When I live in an apartment, I call for all kinds of weird.
If you saw a roach crawling underneath your sink, you would call the property manager to deal with it.
They need to come and spray. I'm not staying here if we got roaches. What the hell? What am I money plant going to? God damn it! No, they got to shut that down. 100%. Interesting.
And what was up with Freddy Rodriguez, who's only exercising half his body? For no reason.
that was
so bizarre.
I missed the point of that. What was he in? He was in 6 Feet Under.
He was 6 Feet Under. And he was in Planet Terror. He was like the lead guy in Planet Terror.
He was good in that.
He was.
He should have gotten more action. I've been meaning to rewatch 6 Feet Under because I remember loving that.
I always loved
Dwight before we knew Dwight.
Yes, there were a lot of like young actors popping up on that show.
Yes. So,
yep.
But basically, discover the Naiad because the tenants are complaining that someone's splashing around at the pool late at night. So Paul Giamatti, Cleveland, is kind of out there checking the scene, and out of the corner of his eye, he sees something grabbing something off the table and diving into the pool.
Right.
So he's yelling at them to come out, and he slips and falls, knocks his head, and is about to drown in the pool. And then he wakes up in his room with like the most Irish looking person you ever saw in your life. If she even got into a shadow, I'm afraid she'd burst into flames.
No, she's pale as a ghost with her Bryce Dallas Howard red hair.
I was like, Howard, that can't be Ron Howard. I was like, oh.
Yes, it is. Her middle name's Dallas. Her middle name's Dallas because that's where she was conceived.
Oh, that's classic.
Isn't that? Ron Howard loves to tell this story.
Oh, my God.
Which I find horrifying.
If it would have been the Texaco station, it could have been Texaco.
On Arrested Development. There, ever seen that show? Arrested Development. Yeah. Ron Howard is like the narrator. And there's a character whose middle name is Allie. And she is
she is
the bastard daughter of Ron Howard. Yes.
Lord.
Anywho. No, and I had to say, the pool was remarkably small for such a gigantic apartment complex. You know what I mean? It was like a wading pool, practically. But yes, when he awakens, because he slips, conks himself, and then rolls in the pool for some reason, as one does. She is naked as a jaybird, except she's wearing like one of his shirts to cover herself. And he's never like, whoa, hang on. What's happening?
He does. He's like, he turns around at one point because she marches out of the shower, and he's like, you need to put some clothes on.
He does do that. That's true. But how old is she? She seemed like she was like 16 or something.
She looked like a little baby, but no one was getting busy with her.
Right.
Paul Giamatti was very protective. On a side note, whenever she was around, he stopped stuttering.
Yes, he had a stutter, just kind of, but it wasn't that severe. It wasn't like Michael Palin in Fish Called Wanda. It would be like occasionally he'd start a sentence with a little bit of a hiccup and then he'd be fine. So, here's my question. There's backstory that comes out later. Like he used to be a physician, but there was a home invasion and his family was murdered.
Yeah,
is that what it was?
His children were murdered and he is tortured.
And because of that, he is now, in kind of a dead end job. And I don't know, did he develop the stutter because of that? Or did he always have a stutter? Or
I want to say yes, based on nothing, based on no facts. I want to say yes, that is correct.
Interesting.
And her name is Story. Did we say that?
Yes. This is kind of a common theme. I remember in the 80s, there were a lot of movies of here's this weird loner and then the super hottie jumps out, like comes from otherworldly, appears on the scene bring him out of his shell. Well, I mean, it's like Splash. There was a movie called Date with an Angel. that came out where suddenly an angel falls down.
Is that like the Legend of Hell House? F the Dead? Like, is that the same thing?
That's 100% what it is.
Not touched by an angel.
Touched by an angel sounds inappropriate.
Bad touch by an angel.
Bad touch. Absolutely. So that's kind of what this is. Although those other movies, there's a much more of a romantic piece to it, right?
This is not romantic.
There's nothing, even though that seemed kind of strange, because she is really attractive in this movie in various states of undress, and people act like, nothing to see here. I don't see anything. We're good. Am I weird? Cabin. Perhaps I'm the weird loner.
M. Night Shyamalan's sister makes a comment like, I don't know what's going on over there. Paul Giamatti,
I don't think she has any clothes on. She makes some comment like that, and then it's like, okay, moving on. Good times.
Because now they've bought into it. They've met her, so they have the knowledge.
Correct. It's funny.
At one point, there was a butterfly, and the butterfly is mentioned more than once. So, of course, I'm like, it's 100 years of solitude. It's all happening again. Eventually, right, the old Chinese woman will be dragged around the apartment by her children.
That's correct. There was a lot of interesting things going on in this crazy apartment. I liked the fact that it was revealed. So the mythology is, in prehistory or something, the water people would, give advice to the people who lived on the land. Because in prehistory, everyone had to live near water because you had you needed water.
So they had a positive symbiotic relationship.
Correct. Well, some would argue parasitic relationship because it wasn't clear what the land people were doing for the sea people at all. But as technology occurred, people moved away from the water and then people stopped listening to the water people. And then, of course, war and pestilence and all sorts of bad
things
occurred.
Land people became obsessed with war.
Right.
And but then owning they said, property. Every so often, the sea people would send their children out to try to reconnect.
Right.
But it hasn't worked. Terrible things happen to them.
Well, in the cave painting, evidently a giant eagle would pick up a naiad and drop them off in the local watering hole. And they'd live there until they met a person they were supposed to meet.
Right.
And then kind of inspire them in some way, at which point the giant eagle or whatever the hell it was, would swoop back down and take the take the naiad back to the water.
Right.
But there's also a crazy, I don't know what that
like
one
wolves.
Is. Wolf. It's a wolf made of grass. Essentially,
who will kill the naiad if they can?
Who want? It's like the Morgue from Neverending Story. It's a wolf thing that's trying to kill, the mythical creature or whatever. Then there's some bizarro story about there's weird evil monkey people that live in the trees.
So they're like the rule keeper. Like this universe has certain rules,
right?
And if you violate those rules, these creatures come down and 86 you. You're out of the game. Yeah.
Right. But generally, the wolf creatures, this is very dense mythology.
I know it sounds all crazy, but the wolf looked pretty good.
The monkey people
look a little bit like the monkeys from The Wizard of Oz.
You don't see them that much. So that's a good thing.
It's very quick.
It's supposed to be that when the giant eagle appears to take the naiad, the scrunt, is that what it's called? The evil wolf thing, the scrunt, will run away. Except if it's a madam naiad or some shit.
Like they're supposed to be
like a queen bee.
Ultimate queen bee naiad is sent out. She doesn't know it's her.
Right.
Da, 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 da. So they are so desperate to stop this reconnection because it's going to be too powerful that it breaks the rules.
Yeah, so the scrunt will try to kill the special naiad regardless of the eagle being there. And then
the monkeys.
If the if the wolf thing breaks the rules, then eventually the evil monkey people will come down and kill the wolf. But they'd like to take their sweet ass time.
Apparently,
for reasons that are not clear.
Last minute.
Correct.
And the scrunts kill people too. They're not messing around.
They only in a funny moment when Cleveland's trying to figure out the plot, because Story can't tell him anything, he goes to a film critic who's just moved in to the apartment, who of course is like acerbic and grouchy. He's like, if this was a movie, how would this be? And he gives him a bunch of BS, essentially, like stuff that's, I mean, it seems like it makes sense, because there are characters that fit this, you know, his perception of it, because there's so many goddamn characters in this. So, and of course, later in the movie, he's killed by a scrunt after having arguably the funniest part of the movie. I'm trying to remember what he says.
It's like, something like, in this kind of a horror movie, I'm going to narrowly escape when I, you know, leap forward at the last minute, but that's not what happens.
Right. If this is a family film, then I'll get away just in the nick of time, because this is not the kind of movie where people are killed by creatures. So he turns around, and of course, is immediately murdered by the last scrunt. So that was amusing.
Bob Balaban plays the best grump.
He was good. What else you got? What else did you notice?
I noticed that at one point, that after the scrunt attack Story, you know, she's dying because it's like some kind of a poison. So Paul Giamatti is diving into the pool trying to get to her little underground lair.
So ridiculous.
He's holding his breath for what, 15, 20 minutes?
At least. The oyster divers in French Polynesia cannot hold their breath.
As long as this Paul Giamatti.
Because what is it? It's like,
I was like, what, bro?
Because they figure out there's some kind of special mud. Because here's the other thing. The Korean mom who lives there, like, knows the mythology because it was told to her by her mother when she was a little girl.
Right.
So she has to have the Korean daughter, who's a college student, basically talk to her mom and learn. It's very convenient, as you might imagine. There's various people who are just like, oh, well, here's the answer.
And then he has to act like a baby in order for her to tell him the story. So they're trying to piece together what to do. You have the movie critic telling him what would happen in a movie.
Right.
You've got the legend. So you learn the pieces of the legend.
Correct.
And then you have an oracle who can interpret
the symbologist or whatever.
Yeah.
And
they pick the wrong. Each one of the groups is wrong. Because Paul picks it based on what feels right.
When they listen to the critic, he goes about for, I swear to God, 45 minutes and recruits people based upon what the film critic said he's supposed to recruit.
Right.
And it's wrong. Like they come up with an entire plan that takes up 3/4 of the movie. And then it's like, why isn't this working? This isn't working. And then Jeffrey Wright, who's also in this movie, who they thought was the puzzle guy because he was doing crossword puzzles. No, he's just a guy who likes puzzles. He has no special abilities to read anything. But his son does. They realize.
Cereal boxes. I thought that was awesome. When he's just sitting in front of the kitchen cabinet at a high school going, this is what this means.
No, but I appreciate Jeffrey Wright going like, I don't feel anything. This doesn't seem right to me. I think we're
the shoulders were like, yeah, that's us.
The room full of like five, how big are these apartments, by the way? Yeah. Five grown adults are sitting there just smoking weed all the live long day. But nice enough, they leave the ashtray outside. So they're puffing away and then
Paul Giamatti can come and dump it.
Yeah, that was nice of them.
Well, did you know one of those dudes is Richard Harris's son and went on?
Jared Harris.
Yeah.
Jared Harris, who was in The Crown. He was in Mad Men. He was on all sorts of stuff. But he's not like, he's just one of the gang. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not like the lead stoner. He's just one of the stoners. So
And although there were a couple of sodas that looked a little familiar. I mean, all these people looked a little bit familiar.
There's a lot of that going on. So they come up with this plan of, we'll throw a party because the scrunt won't be able to smell the...
Right.
We'll be able to smell the naiad with all the funky body odors of the other people. So that when Eagleton starts coming, then they'll say everybody run inside because they can't be out there when the eagle arrives.
They can't. The eagle won't come if the non-chosen are there.
Oh, it was like the worst. And then, of course, the creature runs through the crowd anyway, grabs her, and is dragging her off into the woods.
Right.
Before Paul Giamatti springs into action. So, not a good plan. And again, they healed her once before by using the magic clay. But the second time, they're like, well, we can't. I guess we're out of clay.
I don't know what it was. I think she was already dead by the time they found her. Remember, she was her hair was white. Maybe she was too far gone or something. So the groups that they were looking for is the Guardian, the Healer, the Guild, and the Oracle. And the Oracle is a collection of people.
Right.
The Guild.
She thought, because even the Naiad has no idea what the hell's going on in the plot.
Right, the Naiad doesn't know who the people are, and she has no idea. Say anything about it.
She thinks that Cleveland is the Guardian, because she meets him first, and he's very nice to her.
But we know he's not the Guardian, because a Guardian can look at the scrunt, and it will freeze the scrunt.
The scrumpet.
And that did not work.
No. So we knew something was wrong at that stage of the game. Her whole mission, it is revealed that she is there to meet M. Night Shyamalan, who had written a book he almost finished his book.
He is writing a book, but he's
blocked. And when they meet, it's like all of his fears and anxieties were wiped away, and now he's going to finish his book, which is going to change society. And it was just like, of course, M. Night will be like, my works will change society. If you will all just watch them and don't be a critic or the scrunt's going to eat you. Watch my movies without criticism. So, good times.
But I have to say, he did a fine job.
It's like we've said before, he is very much the Alfred Hitchcock. Alfred Hitchcock, you know, you'll see him, doesn't give himself any lines.
This is a big role.
This is big. He was one of the main characters in this
movie.
He's
one of the main characters who's going to change the world. She also tells him that he's going to die.
Well, he kind of susses out. I still am not entirely certain how. But he goes to her directly and he's like, hey, I write this book. And I notice you say that it inspires somebody, you know, with my reading, but they never come to see me. So give it to me straight. Do I bite the dust? And she's like, yeah. He's like, okay.
Big change doesn't come through violence. It has to come through violence, or it doesn't come easy.
Upheaval.
I think that's the point.
Right.
Look at Salman Rushdie, man. He got the stabby.
He's still with us. And I would argue that his book didn't change society. You know, no offense, Salman, if you're listening.
It's not 100 years with all of it.
Which also did not change society, I would argue. Good grief. We talked about this briefly. Let's talk about this some more. So he has to get the magical, like, mud from the Naiad's lair. So he jumps into the pool. And he finally lifts the grate off the bottom. And, of course, there's this gigantic tunnel leading down there. He's swimming for a good 15 minutes. Finds a little door, opens the door, still submerged. Luckily, she's got these cups that are under, like, upside down that have air in them. So he's able to do a couple little, you know, put his...
Well, that's good, because it was like 40 minutes later.
It was 4 minutes later. And here's a little thing people don't realize. If you do that, like suck in the water from the cup, It's, yes. You exhale as well. Newsflash. There's an exhalation. So the gas in the cup would not change. You understand what I'm saying? You're not like drinking the air, by the way, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, my friend, we do not know the properties of Naiad air or how she gathered the air. She could have come up, got air, brought it down.
Interesting. The properties of special Naiad air.
I don't know.
No, he would have been dead and no one would have known where he was.
Nope.
That would have been the end of them. It was like Cleveland just disappeared one day.
Until the
and
pool
she's
man
just
came.
Dead.
What the hell is this?
Well, he'd have no to find there would have been just a weird grossness in the water that they could never figure out. Maybe
why
a plumber.
Why does your pool smell so bad? And there's all kinds of weird chunks floating up.
So now it's an old hillbilly who is the pool man. Why is there old chunks in this water here?
I assume this is where this took place.
It's a sad situation. Sweet Jesus. Anything else? Any other thoughts and feelings about this?
I found the end very emotional. And I almost shed a tear.
I didn't give a shit at that point. I didn't give a shit. It was... I didn't spoil it. I didn't hate this movie. It's not a hateable kind of movie. I thought the mythology was way too dense, unnecessarily so. This movie is basically about, I'm going to gather up all these people to help me in typical Shyamalan fashion. Whoops, wrong people. Get the hell out of here, people. I got to get the real people for another half an hour. So, no
well,
thanks.
Like I said, but at least usually in a normal Shyamalan, the switch would be she slaughters everyone. That does not happen.
Right. She's revealed to be
a
cannibal.
It's a fairy tale, and it's about the quest. You know, it's the quest.
Good grief. Shall we go behind the scenes?
I knew you were going to hate it because it's too beautiful.
Do not hate it. I just don't love it.
Did
how about
you
that?
It, make your family watch it with you?
People walked in while I was watching and promptly walked right the hell out. They're like, thanks for nothing.
That doesn't sound right.
Let's go behind the scenes, shall we? The reason for the film's $70 million production budget, despite being set in one location, was because the apartment complex and the pool were built for the film. That seemed like a bad idea. What? You couldn't find
it?
Apartment
got that one in LA where everybody spray painted. This has just been empty for 10 years.
Why not? Why not? Director M. Night Shyamalan adapted Lady in the Water, originally a bedtime story, into an actual children's book, and it was released the same day as this film.
I like that. Maybe I'll buy it.
Maybe you should. Director M. Night Shyamalan adapted Lady in the Water, originally a bedtime story, into an actual... I just read that one.
What
Let me just repeat
heck?
That
Many
five
strokes?
More times. I'm having
Many
an episode.
Strokes.
The plot
you need
of the...
Naiad near you to steady you?
I need it. Thank goodness. The plot of the movie is based on a bedtime story. Director
Oh, is it based on a bedtime story?
It's what he wrote for his kids, though. It wasn't some old, you know, tale.
Oh, wait a minute. It's based on a bedtime story that he wrote.
Yes, that he made up. How about that?
All right.
Let's see. Director M. Night Shyamalan, delighted after he discovered the unknown Cindy Chung, was shocked to hear that her agent demanded $1 million for her role in this film. Even though she was unknown, Knight was prepared to pay the SAG minimum $65,000. They settled at $100,000.
Wow.
That's interesting. Or just hire a different actress.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that?
She was great.
Contrary to popular belief, the creatures in this film are not based on any mythological creatures and were all invented by director M. Night Shyamalan. The only creature to be based off of an existing illustration is the Narf, which is inspired by water sprites, nymphs, and water fairies.
There we go.
There you go. And it's said that it's based upon a bedtime story that M. Night Shyamalan wrote.
Is it based on a bedtime story? What the hell?
According to the book, The Man Who Heard Voices, or How M. Night Shyamalan Risked His Career on a Fairy Tale, One of the reasons why Shyamalan decided to part with Disney was because Disney's president of development, Nina Jacobson, took her son to a party instead of staying home to read the script for Lady in the Water. Shyamalan had it personally couriered to her, and to add insult to injury, she did not like it anyway. Shyamalan went off in a huff, and the creative differences he purportedly had with Disney was that he simply felt there was nothing creative about Disney anymore. He took the script to Warner Brothers instead, but without the usual marketing campaign from Disney promoting his other films with, The Lady in the Water was a box office flop.
Yeah, I had never heard of it, but I'm glad I found it.
Oh, I'd heard of it. I just, it wasn't something I was dying to see. Let's see. Kevin Costner was considered for the role of Cleveland Heap.
No. Come on. Once again, these considered. Was anyone in an office with the key players? This is a lie.
Who's to say? Who's to say? Director M. Night Shyamalan was in talks with Philip Seymour Hoffman for an unspecified role in this film, but he had scheduling conflicts. Very sad.
Well, he was hot after... The Sixth Sense, so everybody wanted to work with
him. Yeah, but this is several years later.
They are still making his movies.
Well,
they're disappointing, and I still see them. But he's still being bankrolled.
He is. Well, I'll tell you what. It was the last couple of years you started to see his name back on the poster. Because for a couple of years there, it was like, don't ask who directed this movie. Now it's back to... From the mind of M. Night Shyamalan. This is the second collaboration between Bryce Dallas Howard and director M. Night Shyamalan after previously working together in The Village, which I did not care for.
I was down with it till I figured the whole thing out 15 minutes in.
I wanted it to be the thing it was pretending to be. I did not want it to be some other baloney.
I was like, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. This is present day. This is some weird hippie cult thing.
It's a weird hippie cult. Let's talk about the cast and crew, shall we? Writer, director M. Night Shyamalan. You know him from such things as Lady in the Water.
Yeah.
Signs. The Village.
I don't think I've seen Signs.
Really?
I saw The Village.
The Sixth Sense. In my humble opinion, The Sixth Sense is the only A-plus movie he's done. The rest of
it's a masterpiece.
It is.
He's been chasing that ever since. But Donnie Wahlberg still gives me nightmares sometimes.
As he should. Don't watch Blue Bloods. That's what I'm telling you. let's see. Okay. Cast. Paul Giamatti played Cleveland Heap. You know him from Sideways, Cinderella Man, American Splendor, and 2023.
Oh my God, American Splendor is one of the best movies if you have not seen that. American Splendor is amazing.
And he's in 2023's The Holdovers, which is nominated for Best Picture. Let's see. Bryce Dallas Howard played Story, the crazy mythical creature.
Yes.
You know her from Jurassic World Dominion.
Don't
you?
Is that a
The
thing?
Help?
I've never freaking heard of that. Oh yeah, she was good in The Help.
She was great in The Help. She was in one episode of Black Mirror, and interestingly enough, she directed three episodes of The Mandalorian.
I never saw that shit. I don't have Apple. Don't they have enough for me? They need my blood.
Do you know what's interesting? Is this weekend I saw Argylle, starring Bryce Dallas Howard. And then I saw American Fiction starring Jeffrey Wright, who's in this movie as well. So there you go.
Either one of those worth my time?
They're both. I liked American Fiction quite a bit, and I thought Argylle was fine. It was fun.
Like
Lady in the Water
fine. River on the Orient Express fine?
No. No.
Better or worse than that? Because
Much better. Let's see. Jeffrey Wright played Mr. Dury. You know him from such things as The French Dispatch.
I love The French Dispatch.
Batman. Broken Flowers.
And
2000's Shaft, starring Samuel L. Jackson.
Because I just bet you.
Could be. Could be. Let's see. Bob Balaban played Harry Farber, the film critic. You know him from such things as Gosford Park.
Yeah.
A Mighty Wind.
And every movie they make.
Pretty much. Close Encounters Seinfeld. Of the Third Kind. Which I consider Close Encounters as kind of a forgotten Spielberg movie, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Who forgot it?
Me? No one ever talks about Close Encounters.
Well, there's 1,000 movies we could all talk about. We could talk about how the first Indiana Jones is only Indiana Jones worth your goddamn time.
We could talk about that. And he was in Capote.
Speaking of Capote, there's a new Ryan Murphy thing, Capote and the Swans, which is out now. I think it's on Hulu.
Very cool. Anybody else you want to know from the cast? Because there's 100 different people.
There's 100 different people. That's all you need to know.
That's
Everyone's
all you need
a celebrity.
To know.
Everybody's bang.
Everybody is performing. So, everybody is an actor in this film.
I would go watch that movie again.
Yeah,
if I didn't have to pay $4. And I was already talking this movie up Friday night. And I'm like, if you want to see a great movie, go see The Lady in the Water. To anyone that would listen to me.
Do you know what I realized? And perhaps this isn't a news flash to anybody else. Did Jessica Chastain steal Bryce Dallas Howard's thunder? Because they're both kind of attractive redheads.
I don't know. It seems like Bryce Dallas Howard is still working consistently. But
not as much. Not as much.
She's not quite as attractive as she used to be.
I was talking, this sounds bad. I was talking
Which has nothing to do, should have nothing to do with acting, but it.
No.
It depends on your roles, too. What do you want to do with your career? Or are you just going to start taking anything that doesn't sound like porn?
Exactly. What's interesting is Jessica Chastain's real name is Jessica Howard.
Oh. Because Ron Howard was casted as Seed of the Four Winds.
Her name was Jessica Allie Howard. No, that's her. That's true. She changed her name because her agent was just like, people are going to mix you guys up. But what's interesting is they were both in The Help together.
Yeah.
Playing different roles. So there you go.
Oh, not
playing the same role. Not at all. Let's talk about the rating, shall we?
Yes.
2006 Lady in the Water. Currently 25% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Do you know what
the audience gave it?
87?
49.
What's happening?
It's
because we've been away from the sea people too long.
I think you're right. We can no longer hear their voices. Let's see. Top critics.
I don't know what's happening.
The world is coming to an end.
It's QAnon's return.
If only we had M. Night Shyamalan's book, then we could, you know, understand.
Dude, I'm
going to
go look for that on Amazon.
Roger Ebert.
Here we go. Come on, Roger.
Perhaps it's improvised and protracted, nonsensically and unnecessarily, just for the sake of stringing us along and maybe putting us to sleep. 1.5 out of 4. Boom.
I don't know what's happening in the world.
Boom.
All I can say is anyone who says that is clearly dead inside and needs to reflect upon their life and bring some joy back.
Peter Travers from Rolling Stone. This movie is a muddle, burdened by too many characters and a sorry lack of thrills, flair, and coherence. Yet Shyamalan's talent is real. 2 out of 4.
I don't even know what that means. How does he say his talent is real? By the product he's created is trash, according to them. That makes no sense.
Good question.
Just like these reviews make no goddamn sense.
Wesley Morris from the Boston Globe says...
What about Wesley Snipes? What does he say?
He has a different opinion. It is possible to wrestle yourself from the movie's hokey ambitions. There's a good chunk of Lady in the Water that is simply too well made and affectingly acted to dismiss as a mere exercise in arrogance. 2.5 out of 4.
I'm getting the vibe that they don't like the fact that M. Night cast himself as the person whose voice and words changes the word.
I didn't love that either, frankly. If I'm being honest.
It's the suspension of disbelief. So he was just simply an actor. It is not M. Night Shyamalan making a personal statement about his genius.
He didn't choose himself as one of the stoners. Right?
So there you go. I mean, I thought he was fine.
He was fine. He was fine. What is your rating, Aaron?
Dude, it is 4.5 keys to the apartment of my dream in this complex out of 5. Sign me up. I'm down.
4 out of 5. Interesting.
4.5.
Four and a half. Sweet Jesus.
I love this movie. Like I said, to me, it's right up there with The Secret of Ronan-ish, but of course,
with Rosemary's Baby, all of your favorites. It's that, and then Lady in the Water.
Those might be all above. And those were 5s.
You're allowed to love whatever you love.
I love it so much that I had a tear when the eagle picked her up.
We didn't even get to see the eagle, did we? Did we see anything? I don't remember.
It's better when you don't see things.
Clearly. Why couldn't we not see the monkey people is what I want to know. Don't show me that.
As soon as I saw them dropping from the trees, I'm like, don't show too much.
Because
the wolf was great.
Wolf was quite good.
Until it had to battle the monkey people.
I am going to give it 2.5 monkey people. Out of 5.
Oh, Lord. Less than the Frighteners? Less than, what, Cannibal Holocaust?
Less than Cannibal Holocaust.
Less than From the Beyond? Oh.
I liked From Beyond, by the way.
I know you do.
Again, it's not a hateable movie. It's not a movie like, oh, this is a piece of shit. It's not that.
Really? 2.5? That's pretty... I didn't give it a 1. I didn't give it a 0.5.
Right. No, I thought it's too much. Like I said before, the mythology is very dense, unnecessarily so, which I can forgive. The bigger issue is the fact it is so much time devoted to just kind of gathering people up to just stand in a room together and then heal her like multiple times. And I'm just like, okay, moving on. Moving on. I would have just tossed her ass to the scrunch.
Interesting characters. All the characters were interesting. So.
But there was like 40 of them. What was the grand reveal? Like the husband comes out of the bathroom and he's like standing there like, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? I thought it was going to be like Sean Connery comes out of the toilet or something. You know what I mean? It was just some dude.
I was listening to that voice and I was trying to guess who it was.
Like I thought it was going to be a reveal of some sort. Oh, it's Bruce Willis. He's back. No,
well, the only reveal is every time we see this family, he's always in the toilet.
Correct. But that's what I'm saying. If you don't show me the face of the character, then you kind of build it up as though this has some special meaning. Did not. Very upsetting. So there you go. Any last thoughts?
It's a masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece. Very good.
Don't listen to Kevin.
So thank you very much. Go to our pages across social media. We're on X. We've been temporarily locked out of Facebook, so we'll see. Hopefully we're back on there someday.
I posted on our Facebook account that you were in Facebook jail and nobody cared.
But nobody cared. It's very upsetting, right? Instagram, TikTok, we're all Blue Sky, Threads. Good grief. We're on YouTube. So you may watch this or future episodes there if you want to see our smiling faces. Ooh la la.
I'm rocking my Bryce Dallas Howard, strangely red hair today.
It's exactly the same. No question.
They're the same people.
They are truly, you've stolen Bryce Dallas Howard's thunder. I think we can agree. You can also email us, thepodcastthatwouldn'tdie@gmail.com. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review. Won't you?
Won't you?
Aaron, what's your social media situation?
I don't even know anymore. I may still be on Artsy and First Dibs. Aaron Doherty, check it out. I'm definitely on the Insta. I am the Cult of Aaron. Join the cult. Don't feed the pigeons. I'm on Twitter. I'm not even going to call it X because literally I went to email something to them. I was on there about an issue and it still says Twitter. And when I get emails from them saying, hey, you need to check, it still says Twitter.
Right.
Nothing like quality control, Elon. I hope that you put that same care into your cars.
I mean, I would leave Facebook and X far behind and never shed a tear. The issue is, those are the only places you get any engagement. Really. It's like you go to Threads,
not on
zero
Tumblr?
Engagement.
Not on Flickr?
Only fans. Absolutely.
I only use Facebook for my groups. That's basically
and
it.
Birthdays. Reminds me there's a birthday coming up.
Birthday. And quite frankly, even when people post on your birthday, you may not see all of them until like the next couple of days because, you know, algorithms. And you can no longer switch it to just most recent, which is what I want to see.
That's what, they've all gotten rid of most recent. Let's... Yeah. As you guys know, what we try to do is include viewer, listener, mail comments on social media. So here we go. Our buddy, Jason Hemming, responding to the Dolls episode, says, ooh. I remember seeing this once a long time ago. Really dug it. The effects were great for its time. Facts.
For its time, it's still creepy as hell right now. Facts. Hashtag relevant.
Hashtag relevant. So thank you very much for that, Jason. Next week, we're going to be recording a very special episode with our friends from Gag Me With a Chainsaw. Woo-hoo. So check out that good stuff. We're going to be discussing the 1972 Brian De Palma early classic, Sisters, starring Margot Kidder, of all people. Looking foxy. I have to say, 70s Margot Kidder, you can't go wrong. She is foxy. Yeah. By the time she was in the 80s,
already fallen apart mentally by then.
Kind of fallen and, you know, just not my cup of tea. But
there was some mental illness.
I don't know if that happened in the 80s, but eventually that is true. Anyway, you can watch Sisters on a variety of sources. It's on Max.
Not Hannah and her sisters.
Not had just Sisters, and don't
not
choose
the TV
one
series Sisters.
Not the with Teddy and Georgie and Frankie. Not those. Swoozy Kurtz and Celia Ward. Yep, not that one. Not Sisters with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. Okay, it's not that one. Not that one. It is 1972's Brian De Palma Sisters. You can watch it on Max. It's on Plex. It's on the Criterion Collection. So Plex is free with ads. So there you go. If you don't want to spend a nickel on it.
Why is it that no one knows that Max is HBO? I've literally had adult people saying, no, I don't have HBO. I have this thing called Max.
Because this is happening more and more where you have an established brand that people, if not love, at least are aware of. And then you change
HBO, it. The name has been around for 40 years. So you changed it to one of the lesser known channels,
right.
Cinemax, used to go by Max.
Yes.
Why is this now Cinemax, which was just known for sleaze after hours?
Right. Cinemax. It was HBO Max, and they changed it just to Max. It was Twitter, and now it's just X. So now you have old people who are just bamboozled.
They email you, then everything still says Twitter.
Correct. So send in your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions about Sisters. And we may talk about it on the show. So thank you very much and be well.
I say good day, sir.